Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hey ladies, welcome to our public chat and chill. And I just finished doing 2 days on feminine foundation, and that basically being about, you know, sensuality and seduction and what the woman is to the man as far as why he desires you in the first place. And ending that particular series, Blog Talk shut us off. So I just want to finish that last question. And then this is, of course, a chat series, a little chat and chill that's public for about, you know, anything y'all want to talk about. But if you want to get the feminine foundation seduction / sensuality course and actually know why you are important as far as being a woman, then contact me, healinglovecenter@gmail.com, email, or just click on the link that's going to be in the description box, and you can get the 2 days that we just talked about and know a little bit about why I need to answer this question. I can answer this question publicly because it was about different levels and different men and different classes of men. And I just wanted to finish what I was saying, which is all of us are not the same. And in the seduction tricks and tips and the female sensuality, female sex tantra, and all of that in that community tend to believe that once you read a book or once you learn something and you have these, you know, steps, ABC, that is going to work for all men. But many times when we're talking about men, we're talking about the predominant men in a generalization. That's why when I teach, I go into, or if I mentor, I go into different classes. Y'all know I'm a class teacher. I'm a classist. So I've always talked about different classes of men and women because they are not all the same depending on, you know, their race and various things. And again, you can get some older classes to go into that, but they're not the same. So me talking to a guy that has never went anywhere is different than me talking to someone that travels or is an expat all the time. The conversations are going to be completely different. If all you know is reality TV and nigga shit and racism, honey, Men of Higher Caliber are not talking about that. They're not talking about that at all. So if that's, you're going to feel intimidated because you have not increased your class. You have not increased your feminine foundation, everything that I just taught you all on the first day of the second call. You haven't increased it. So it's not like those men aren't there. It's just that you're not in existence with them. And again, this goes back to some of the lessons that we're learning with parallel dimensions and universes in, you know, just watching the show Game of Thrones. So, I mean, I don't want you to feel intimidated by them, but I do need you to know that you're not going to use any basic tips and tricks on a man that has known the game of sensuality and seduction and manipulation longer than you. If you are new to finding out who you are as a woman and new to the practice of it, not just listening to my course or taking my mentorship or reading a book another author has written, but actually getting into it and practice. If you are new to that, ladies, just accept that you are going to fail the majority of the time, that you will not win with me in the majority of the time because they have had years on you, honey. They've had years. As powerful as we are as women, if you have not put it into practice, those muscles are a little rusty. Ladies, they've been taught how to manipulate and trick women out of pussy since high school. You are no match for them. You are no match for them. So you can't really come to me or say, okay, well, I want to date this type of man. I've never dated this type of man before. What should I do? I'm going to tell you that is not a quick question. We're going to have to go into mentorship for that because I don't know what you know. I don't know what your gifts are. I don't know if you're strong in your air element. I don't know if you're weak in your sacral chakra or how often you're having sex, if you're thirsty and needy. I don't know what your senses, what I just taught. I don't know if your senses or your arousal-based nature is in any type of way healthy. If it is not healthy, then, honey, that man is going to devour you. That is what he's going to do. You will have absolutely no power over him. Because his nature on many women, especially if you have sex a lot, honey, he's going to turn you out in the bedroom. And women, you know, those of us that think seduction and sexuality is only about sex, He's going to turn you out in the bedroom, and then you ain't going to know what to do. You're going to act like you don't have nothing to offer him. You're going to start being a nag, text him all the time, calling all the time. Then he's going to really leave you because he's going to see you ain't about no business what he really wanted in the first place, because you can't disconnect your sensual center because you're not active. You don't have good sex. You don't know what explosive orgasms are. That man's going to blow your mind because he's had thousands of pussies to practice on, and you ain't going to know what to damn do. Honey, and they will victimize you now. Some of us know that. They will. So, again, ladies, honey, you got to, again, there's levels to seduction. There's levels to sensuality. If you are new at this, just be prepared to lose. I mean, that's how you're going to learn. You're not going to learn until you get out there and practice. You just be prepared to lose until you find, you know, your match, until you find someone that you can work your feminine wiles and your feminine magic, and he respects you on. No, until then, just I tell you to leave certain classes of men alone or get with them to practice, but just know 9 times out of 10, he's smarter than you. He's far more wittier. He's probably a better manipulator. A lot of us have morals, honey. These men ain't got no morals. They want to survive. They have a healthy root chakra, honey. I hope you have one. You know, we all want one. But, honey, they have healthy root chakra, healthy. So if your root chakra is not healthy, honey, then you don't know what it means to survive, and he does. So, I mean, basically, he's a prey, you're the predator. So there's no need in getting upset when he doesn't text you back, email you back. I mean, you just were not ready for him, and you just were not. And you may think that you were, but you just wasn't. If you, again, it depends on every individual situation, because they have had a lot of practice. They practice hypnosis. Ladies, they practice NLP. Let me tell y'all about y'all that want the spiritual one. Huh? Y'all want these spiritual men? Go keep at it. If your spiritual regimen in practice is not on point, if you are, you know, busy doing other things, living your life, working, you know, doing your mam and grind thing, and you still don't make time to do ritual once a week or twice a week on the ritual days or whatever it is, then, honey, you can want that spiritual man that knows you're a goddess and all this other foolishness all you want. That man is going to feed off of you and devour you, too. Every time he has sex with you, he's going to be using what he has learned in various sex magic courses that these men have that they take all the time, like I said, with hypnosis. Ladies, just go on Amazon. If you put, like, sex, NLP, honey, the majority of those books are written by men for men. We don't have as much stuff as they, you know, as they have. Remember, we're supposed to be the good chase girls. We can be the freaks every now and then. But, see, we ain't supposed to be strong in that air element. We're not the ones supposed to be able to manipulate the consciousness and the awareness of men. No, but they have to condemn astral travel all up in your dreams and got you dreaming about them and all this other foolishness, and you thinking that's a fluke. No, they did that mess on purpose. Y'all keep wanting a spiritual man. There's nothing wrong with it if you can match him and you know, and surpass him. But if he has years of spiritual training on you, you are a fool to step in to the ring, into the dance of the feminine and masculine with him, trusting him. You are a fool. So, I mean, ladies, they come to me when they have womb problems, when they have energetic soul tie-based hooks in their womb, and they start having smells and discharges and life messes with them. There's this one guy, I'm not going to say his name, y'all know I don't care about saying no masculine male name teacher on my call, but he, you know, does this energy work over people, waving his hands and stuff. I've had his clients come to me saying that they cannot shake him, his energy is in their house, that he messed up something in their auric field. Honey, y'all keep messing with them. If you are what you say you are, and you own your stuff and practicing and got yourself fortified and protected and are good at discerning and are good at your own sexual mysteries and got your sex sigils and all the stuff that I've already taught in sex rights and stuff, get all them classes on. I've already taught it, so it's on my website. Then you're good to go. But if you're not on that, don't step in the ring with the men. Because they've had years to practice seduction. They know a timid woman. They know when you don't stand up for yourself. They know when you don't want anything or when you're not confident to ask for what you want. They know all that, honey, and are going to use you. That is what they're going to do. So, again, it's just not a one ABC 1-2-3 blueprint works for every man. It doesn't. There's levels to it. There's so many levels to it. And I, like I told you all just a minute ago on the call, you know, relax and have fun because you got to practice. But know that in your practicing, you're not going to meet Prince Charming out the gate. That mentality that, you know, he's going to just fall out of the sky and it's going to be a love match and all this other stuff, that's what's blocking you. That's what's blocking you. That is what I want for y'all. If that's what y'all want, that's what every woman I know that walks this path, especially black women, deserve to have an honorable man like that. But don't go into the dance of the masculine and feminine thinking that you're going to get that right out the gate. 9 times out of 10, you're not. I mean, you can just see it in archetypes all over. It doesn't matter what archetype it is. 9 times out of 10, you kind of got to, you know, kiss a few frogs before you get to the prince. So get out of head clouds with seduction and sensuality and knowing who you are. And if you listen again for y'all that took the course, if you pay attention to the basics, because I taught you the basics, all this other advanced stuff you don't need to know if you don't know what you are as a woman. If you don't know why that man is even talking to you and why he needs your essence, what I just covered in the first call, if you don't know that, nothing else you need to worry about anyway. All this other stuff that I taught, sex rights, sex magic, dark masculinity, seduction, celibacy, sex for the single, how to use your own, you know, body fluids and stuff. All that stuff is not for you if you have not, if you can't answer that first question, why you? What makes you important to the masculine energy? If you cannot name that, then there's no need for you to go any deeper because I'm telling you, these men know exactly why they are important to you. They know exactly what patriarchy is. They know what their position is. They know what they're supposed to do. They're actually just trying to get out of it because a lot of women let them out of it. But they know why they are important to the earth. And a lot of them are crazy and acting a damn fool because they don't have any support to get anything done, and they don't have any discipline, and they don't have any mentors. But they know what do men know what they're supposed to do. They're not pushing this male leadership, I'm the head of the house, BS, and not know that they're supposed to be the protectors and the providers. They know it. They know it. You better know what you're supposed to be, that what you're supposed to be to them. And it ain't got a damn thing to do with you being submissive. All right. We're just having a chat and chill. I just wanted to say that because we got cut off. But this is a public call. So this is just for everybody now. Press star 1 if there's something you want to say. If not, we will go. I just want to make sure that I finished that last question. Y'all know we were talking about Game of Thrones, and I was connecting what was going on with the Game of Thrones and the different dimensions and your ability to control that air element with how you are to talk to and relate with men. Okay, 773, your mic is open.
Yeah, just slay it all down. Just beneath the surface. But I wanted to also connect to Game of Thrones. Blog Talk was hating, but we already know what that's about. But in Game of Thrones, if you all are watching and y'all have been following in the group and keeping up, you already know the book we'd be all rushed to get that haven't used yet. Come on, ladies, let's get it cracking. But dowsing and manifesting. In that book, it talks about personal universes. And what I was going to say before was that Bronn is going back, traveling in time through his mind. And now, because he's tapped into the great consciousness, he's able to see other people's consciousness. So we see where personal universes come into play. He grew up hearing the story of how his father, you know, slaying somebody, supposedly, right? But now, as he's seeing with the assistance of his mentor, Father Time, connected to Mother Earth, because they're in a tree, that's not what happened. His father altered the reality, and that shaped his son's consciousness because he's seeing his father as one thing, and he's trying to to connect with him back in time the way he last saw him before he died. And now he's learning other things. So it's
now,
interesting how...
Let me ask you this. Because, again, that, I mean, that is a very, very, very powerful point. Our life events have been shaped. This is why I tell you ladies to reserve judgment. Our realities, life events, what is going on with us in all of our personal universes, y'all know that's a law of magic, has been shaped by what, ladies? Stories. By these archetypes. By some narrative. Various narratives, but narratives. And what you believe is what you are living out every... Y'all, I love this show. I don't know what to do about it. What you believe is shaping how you are living. It is shaping legacy. It's shaping what you're teaching your children. It's shaping the men you choose. It's shaping the sex you have. It's shaping the God you worship. See, that's something else they're getting ready to tackle because, see, it seems like they're getting ready to tail us and throw a bomb that this God that they think is all separate is really one. So, I mean, it's everything that we are experiencing is shaped by some fucking story, by some narrative. And the reason why I love this and I love what you just said, Akiva, is because we're seeing that the narrative ain't true. That is a lie. So I want you to think about what you are believing and holding on to as truth about womanhood, about sexuality, sensuality, seduction, money. Y'all know we own it on that one, honey. We casting down all thoughts and strongholds around our prosperity. Sisterhood, marriage, I mean, motherhood. I want you, this is something you got to do. I can say it, but you got to do it. Got to ask spirit, great consciousness, whatever you want to call, God is God. I don't care. That's on you. What is the truth? I bet the majority of the time, honey, some of us are in our 30s and have never prayed for the truth, have never affirmed, have never chanted for the truth. We've chanted for prosperity. We chanted for dream interpretations. We chanted for a job. We chanted for a nigga. But we've never asked the great all for the truth. Some of us 40 and 15 never asked. Some of you all are listening to this call and have never asked. What is the truth about you? What is the truth about your story? What is the truth about life? What is the truth about love, sex, money, passion, desire, goodness, debauchery, heathenism? What is the truth? See, I asked ladies for the truth, and I received it, and it completely changed my life. This is why I don't have the same moralistic judgments everybody else has, because I know it's built on a faulty narrative. It's built on a lie. And some of us can come in goddess and say, okay, we know that the male supreme God is a lie, but we won't tell ourselves that, you know, this romantic love version of happily ever after is a lie. Oh, no, we can throw away Jesus, but we can't throw away the worship of that black male phallus. We can't throw away the worship of that. No, that's going to be true. He's going to rescue me. He's going to save me. No, that part is true. No, that part's a lie, too. So if any aspect or any part of your life is a lie, ladies, you need to ask the all for all of this shit to be clear, for all of it to be clear, because, honey, I'm telling you, you are not going to prosper telling yourself lies. Now, you may tell other folks lies all the time. You know, people prosper very much telling people what they want to hear. Y'all know I'm not that type of teacher. So it's up to you to check your own narrative, and you got to do it. Ladies, if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. You want to know the truth. And you know, we get ready to see the truth is grand is behind the whole damn thing. But what did you think about that? That all this stuff that is going on, man is seeing now that his father was a damn lie. That the story he believed. This is mad start, y'all. The folks that read the book know this. Those of us that are watching the show and haven't read the book, we don't know. They've taken us on this so-called altruistic, good, holy, noble, honorable knight quest with Ned Stark. Basically, he is above reproach. He's good. He wants peace. He wants other stuff. That's what we have believed, that he is an honorable man. But he's a damn liar. He's a damn liar. But he lied then, but wouldn't lie to play the Game of Thrones in the present. That's why his ass got decapitated. See, that that selective morality is what got Ned got. And that's what I don't want us to have. Don't be choosing the truth in and out when it makes you feel good. No, you got, ladies, you got to choose it for you all the time. So Ned Stark was a damn liar, is what he was. No matter how much, you know, he wanted to play the Game of Thrones and be all at peace and all this other foolishness. You know, see, that's what the light workers do. This is why I can't stand the light workers. Ned Stark is a light worker. What did you think about that, Akila? That now we done saw that his ass really wasn't all as virtuous as they tried to make him be.
You know what? Hearing you speak right now, it has me thinking about what Ronisha posted in the group about the journey of the maiden as she comes into herself. And it's interesting because when these things start to unfold, this is the first time you start to question God, right? So for him, God is his father. So
good
now
point.
You questioning, what is this God that I've revered so high that it's not that? And it's interesting because now he thinks he wants to stay here, but the all knows best. It's like, no, you got to keep going. You're not ready yet. If not, you'll get stuck here. You'll get stuck in this illusion. You'll get stuck in this lie of what you think you know is true. You still have more to go. And this is crazy synchronistic timing because of the conversation I have with you and everything that's coming with that, because I'm in my own journey with this, with my God, the matriarch of my family.
Yeah,
and I'm reevaluating.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you are, and I want you to really, really take your time with it because, honey, when you find out a lot of stuff that you believe was true, yeah, it just changes your whole life. It just changes everything. Okay, press star one. Anybody want to say anything? We can talk about anything. If not, we're going to get up out of here. 706, your mic is open.
Hey, mamas. Hey, everybody. It's Courtney, Goddess Coco. Hey, hey.
Hey,
I just wanna, hey, how y'all doing?
Are you watching the Game of Thrones?
You know, I am not watching GOT, so I done got GOT on the GOT because I saw you post that, and I was like, it's a still picture. Do I need to decipher what the picture mean? I don't even know who these people is. So, you know, but I do plan to go and have my Netflix moments myself, where I just get all the series, and there's a video place here I can get a lot of it from. So that's what I plan to do, so I can get caught up. But I wanted to just make a comment. First of all, thanks to everybody for the birthday wishes. I had a pretty good time sitting at home eating cake. I have learned when you were talking about the truth that you really do, when you finally accept the truth within yourself, it makes everything else go so, I won't say easier, but you understand it better by and by. And by that, because I have been, you know, watching different things, listening to different things, and asking myself, you know, what is the truth? It's so easy for us to fall under a truth narrative as it is dictated by society, you know, even with the movements going on now with swirling or being with a black man or, you know, whatever it may be. But I have really realized that once you tell yourself the absolute truth, nothing really can be used against you. You just, the only people,
yep,
you only thing you're fighting against is yourself. And it's okay to, as you said, you could tell yourself the truth, lie to everybody else. But it's when you believe that lie for yourself, problem happens. So, because I recently asked myself, you know, like, I came up in the era of, you know, get married, had kids, and all of that. And recently, I mean, even today, I was in the car with my mother. She's here. And I said to my mother, I don't think I want to get married. I just want to be a whore for a while and hoe around. That's what I want to do. And before, I would have been like, oh, my God, how would she feel about it? And, oh, will I be judged? And right now, I'm like, but that's the truth of who I am. And either you like it or, I mean, drink. I don't know. You know, but I just wanted to say that point. I haven't been on the calls, but I've been quiet and doing my own growth and following along the best I can. And I'm going to have to get that Game of Thrones because that whole other universes or what you're saying, it has piqued my interest because we are actually existing in different universes all at the same time. That's the truth that I've experienced, you know. So that to hear that that's happening in that and then the synchronicity of that's happening, classes are happening, you know, we're all going through this truth processing within ourselves, however it may be. I just think that that shows, you know, just development. So that's all I wanted to say, and I was glad to be able to pop in on the chat and chill with everybody. Appreciate everybody.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah, honey.
Good to be heard.
This Game of Thrones, honey, got all types of witch stuff going on. Honey, you got, girl, you just watch it. Just take some time and make sure you at least this year, by the end of this year, I caught it with all the seasons because every witch, every healer, every shamanist, what you call yourself, whatever you want, goddess, sex worker, tantrika, y'all all need to be watching this show. Okay,
oh,
I'm coming to.
I wanted
say
one more thing. Oh my God, who posted it on their page? It was a video that we were watching the other day about being whole within yourself, and the point was made about caring and nurturing. And that was a
Salima?
Very deep point.
Was that Salima's
post?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. She slayed that. Salima slayed it.
She did.
She slayed it.
She did. Because I sat and thought about it, and it was discussed on a post that we were doing, too, about, you know, Stacey Finn, the guy and everything. Stacey was on the call, hey, girl, about the guy asking her and her response back to him. And I realized that whole class that we did a while ago about assigning value to certain things. When you don't know the specifics of a thing, you can't assign the proper value. What we don't seem to understand is that everybody else knows the specifics. So they're underbidding us direly. Caring and nurturing are two different things, as she said. I looked it up, and when I sat there and thought about it, I was like, wow. A lot of times we want to say as women, as the feminine or whatever we can, you know, however we define that, well, I'm a caring individual. Well, that's just maintaining. Nurturing is when the magic happens. And you need to assign the proper value on that because if you could do both of those, you just up your value tremendously. But they know that we as women don't know the difference between caring and nurturing. And so we get underbid and accept all the bids that we get.
Yep.
So
we accept them piss poor bids. You 100% right. Yeah, I'm so thankful. I love my group anyway. It's just a powerful group. Y'all are powerful women. I am the leader. I may be the facilitator. But, I mean, I've watched us grow, and especially because we were supposed to be in there 3 months. We were going on over a year. So I've really watched you all grow, and I'm just happy to see the transformation. I'm just happy to see the transformation. All right, 702, your mic is open. Anybody want to say anything before we get out of here? Press star one.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you good, Miss Lady.
How you all doing?
We good,
so,
girl. How are you, Miss Solo Shoot?
I'm well. I am taking everything that I am learning from you and applying it and making it work to my benefit. I also wanted to comment first of all on the video that Salima posted. I watched that video about four or five times and sat there and you know, really went into some deep thought about what she was saying about of course, the difference between caring and nurturing. The other part, though, that really stuck out for me was that when she said a lot of men and I'm going to paraphrase, but basically have no clue what it's like to be with a woman who is, I think she said, with a fulfilled woman, with a woman who isn't broken and needy, a woman who doesn't show up as a project, or a woman who does not show up without her own sense of self so that she is making him the center of her world. A lot of men don't know how to function in the space of a woman like that. So I thought about that in conjunction with, you know, all that you are teaching us about what men really are and why they desire us, along with watching that video that you posted of the man speaking to women about what men wanted and how unapologetic he was in asking for every aspect of what men want from women.
Yeah.
He was absolutely unapologetic about, I want you to wear 5 million different hats. Yes, I do. And I'm not apologizing for it, and I'm not, and ain't nobody telling me to lower my standards, and nobody telling me I need to compromise, and nobody's telling me I need to be realistic. And as I watched him, and I thought about what Salima said, I thought about how all the different ways that we are taught to do that. So we're talking about Game of Thrones and the stories that we are being told as women as to how we get to show up in our own world, in our own, you know, personal universe. If it's still tied to the story somebody's told you about, you know, particularly as a black woman, you don't have the right to want that, or for you to desire certain things labels you a gold digger, for instance, versus where, you know, Becky gets to have all of that because that's her birthright. So it's just been a lot posted in the group lately that I have really taken in and been applying. And then the thing, I haven't had a chance to complete watching last night's episode of Game of Thrones, but the portion that I have seen, because I was watching it when you posted about the chat and chill, so I just put it on pause. But the part that I did see that made me literally, I had to push pause in the middle of watching, I took a deep breath and said, wow, was when Bran was in the other alternate universe, and he came to know how the White Walkers came to be. And when he came to, and he looked at that female creature, and he said, you created the White Walkers. And she said, yes, I did. He said, why? She said, to protect us from you, to protect us from men. And I thought about, I thought about where we are right now as African-American women, as it relates to African-American men, and how whatever it is that we will need to save us, protect us, whatever, is going to have to be so. I just thought about the choice that they had to make when she created that creature, that I've got to create something that is so heinous that it will protect us from what we're experiencing now, and that is a choice I'm willing to take. That's a choice I'm willing to make.
Yes, she made it.
That really struck me, because I'm looking at that and going, with the way that things are right now. Again, even the stories that black men are telling themselves about us, that they've now began to view us as their number one, you know, enemy or their prey. That whatever it is that we're gonna do to take care of ourselves is gonna have to be way worse than what they're doing
now. What I found interesting, and it's amazing. I mean, they telling you the story of matriarchy right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they telling you the story of, you know, all these people that want to know how and why things are the way they are. Honey, you better watch this show. I mean, I don't even have any words. It will help you answer all things, lady.
Yeah, it is a powerful show. For anybody who's not watching it, it is a powerful show. I feel so blessed to be watching it under your tutelage, because I know a lot of people who are watching it, and they're not getting out of it what we're getting out of it.
Oh, no. I know it too, honey. They're not even having dark goddess conversations about this stuff, honey. Unfortunately, the average black woman she probably doesn't even see herself anywhere in this. But of course Becky does. Because Becky knows matriarchy. She studied it. They have books upon books upon books upon books about it. So when they see that ancient primal or primordial race of all female forest people, who we know, of course, is some of us call them the Pygmy, some of us call them the Twa, But we see, you know, we see that that is our story. But when the white woman is seeing that, she's saying, yeah, I created these. I created, what is she? She's the creator. She's the alchemist. She's the scientist. She's what I've been telling you all to be. I did this. I created them, period. But when we're watching it, you know, that gives her, you know, power under patriarchy and matriarchy. But when we're watching it, we're not even seeing that that was a female experiment. Now, I will tell you, you know, because she got on the damn YouTube talking about it, one of them more sisters, but, you know, they talk very much in code, which I agree with them, they should. But I think that it's really interesting since there's a lot of debates about is the black woman God out here that, you know, all these videos and stuff are popping up everywhere. But she did a, I posted it in the group. She did a little small interview and alluding to this experiment, to an experiment in quote-unquote the black narrative that created women for specific war-based things. So, I mean, I'm telling y'all this. No, you're right. They're not having our conversation. They're not having our conversation. Then, I mean, I don't even know what to say. It is just so loaded, and it's also loaded with the whole political drama of slavery, which I don't see any black people on the forums or in the groups talking about. You know, we're still very Harry Potter theatrical. We're not getting into the element of air, which is, you know, conscious mind creation and thought. Remember I told you I talked to this one white witch, and she told me that the time of the conjurer was over, basically saying that you all African women that are like Marie Laveau and using hoodoo and voodoo and voodoo, that all that stuff ain't going to work no more because now the power is of the mind. See, that was a white woman, and she had no problem talking to me, knowing I'm pro-hoodoo, disrespectful. That's why I had to check her ass on the phone. But she had no problem saying that to me, that the time of the earth, which is over, that now it is all about consciousness and conjuring of the mind. It's not like I didn't agree with her. Y'all know I'm strong air sign. We always talking about changing our consciousness. But, you know, we got to keep ours balanced because, you know, you can't go to air and not deal with survival. But see, Becky got a different, you know, because she's survival based anyway. Remember, she birthed the men that conquered in her name. So she's survival based anyway. We're not. So when you sit up there and say, what are we going to do? Are we going to be willing to do it? When we're looking at that as black women, we know the answer is no. But when she looks at that, she's seeing her history. Yes, that's what I did. I created a race to fight for me, and they fought for me. And they asses are the damn fool because they turned on their white asses too, but it don't matter. She's still winning. So you're right. They're not having our conversation. They're not having our conversation. So I'm just – for y'all that have not watched it, ladies, y'all got to, and, you know, if you want to post about it in the group, of course, we can talk about it. But it's so layered. I mean, it's so – ladies, I can take every one of those masculine archetypes. My gosh. Ladies, watch the show. That's all I can say. Watch the show. All right, y'all, mics are open. Anybody have any other – wait a minute. I see someone putting up a hand. 713, your mic is open.
All right, peace. This is Keisha. So – I was watching Game of Thrones up until about the middle of the fourth season, and then I moved, and I didn't have HBO anymore, so that's why I stopped watching it. But I did they have it on – I don't know if y'all have Best Buy where you're at, but right now it is on sale. Seasons 1 through 4 are on sale, so if you haven't had a chance to check those out, you might want to pick those up. And when you buy seasons 1 through – if you buy 3 of them, they give you a gift card. They give you $15 off, a $15 gift card rather, and so that can help you pay for them as well. But when you said it's layered, I totally agree, because when I watched it, I was seeing like political implications, and it seemed like I was seeing the parallels in what was going on presently in the world. And so I always saw when they kept saying winter's coming. I always saw that as like they were warning people, because from my understanding, these occultists and just know people who know, sometimes they can't communicate with each other directly. And so they use television, they use code words, they use secrets that they know how to tap into. They use that to communicate, you know, across the globe. And so when they kept, because like winter's coming, that was like a major theme when it first started. And I saw that as a warning. And so I would just look around and say, okay, something's about to happen, whether it's the election or even winter. We had a crazy winter, and it was just extremely, it was just, you know, off the charts, off the record books. Things are happening, you know, weather-wise. And so, and then when they, her name's not Kaliki, Daenerys, I believe, the dragon lady. I was really interested in her story, of course, because, you know, she goes and frees the slaves, and because that was the narrative that I at that time most identified with. It was really interesting, her story, her coming from the South and, you know, being a victim of rape and then, you know, having these dragons. And I was just curious as, you know, I was her team, and then she had her king, who was Lisa Bonet's husband with his sexy ass. And so yeah, that was kind of where I was. And they made him darker too, so it was excellent. But yeah, so when I watched it, though, I was seeing it as more like they were attempting to tell a story similar to what you're saying. And now that I get your take on it, you know, I see it even more deeply. But I am curious. I was looking up the writers. I'm a writer, so I'm always curious about, you know, who's writing it and where they're coming from. Because my main thing is, number one, why are you writing it? And number two, where are you getting this from? Like, where are you getting these symbols and this understanding? And how are you casting this magic? And one of the writers is actually a witch. It's a man. I just closed the page, but he had a magic show on television. So he is a self-professed witch or whatever. And I'm sure all of them are witches. I'm sure all of them are witches. But yeah, so that was just it. I was just going to say that, you know, I will catch up. School's out this week, so I'll catch up next week. But I am curious, though, as to motivations. Like, why are you sharing this with us? And what is the intended purpose, you know, the intention behind it? That's it.
Well, girl, you will never know, honey. Any witch, wizard, work they thought, they are very, very protected, and another person will never know their intention. If you can discern the intention of any witch or wizard, they are not worth they thought. So I will tell you this, what I have learned from just even talking with a lot of people that are also writers in the scribe class, the higher you go up, that they want you to make your own story. It's like the more advanced the scribe, the writer, the more they teach in parable. Just like all of, just like the oracles, just like, quote unquote, the ascended masters, Jesus and the rest of them. They never spill it. It's really, again, the graduation of the mind. Base writers want people to get it literally. But the higher you go up in life and in art, it is really what you are going to make of your own. It's what you're going to create. So in reality, you just got to kind of, and you all are witches, you kind of got to see it as multi-layered. And this is why I keep saying to not judge. And even when I, you know, did that Beyonce Lemonade breakdown, remember on that last day, that's something that one of the sisters was saying, that black women don't know how to compartmentalize. So when you say that you can interpret Lemonade as a woman and then as a black woman and as a witch and as a black witch and as, you know, someone that has been in a relationship, when you can say that you can interpret on all those levels, it confuses the average mind, because the average mind is looking for the blueprint, the 1, 2, 3, but I'm not the average. And y'all are not the ass. So you got to, like you said, see this thing in layers. And, I mean, the real point to that, to me, is that it is a book about bloodlines. I mean, it's the Game of Thrones. So every bloodline is different. They just bring in some other stuff. So, I mean, that's what they have taught me, that people that need the literal definition, their minds are stuck so much in the physical. But as their minds expand and life expands, you really see that there really are no it answers. Like I said, there's multiple yeses. There's multiple options. And that's the way God said it. And some of us aren't ready for it, but I'm going to get you ready for it. Because that's the time we end, girl. That's the time we end. You choose the multiple option door. And I think we even saw that in the movie Matrix, did we not? When he went into the Hall of Decision, did he not go into that parallel world and have various doors he could have taken?
Yeah.
And remember, he needed the key master. He needed
the master key. Right.
Yeah,
right.
But he could have went through any door. So, I mean, that's where we're going, ladies. This is why I keep telling y'all, this air is kicking ass, because air is pushing us to get out of this either or, yes or no mentality. In some things, it's like that, but the higher you go up, ladies, it's not. You have multiple choices, multiple options, multiple yeses.
Oh, I wanted to say also, y'all spoke about, I remember you, a few minutes ago, you mentioned, why was ice able to trump fire? And so I remember the Valerian. I don't know who Valerian is, but I remember in a couple of seasons ago when they were with the White Walkers. I don't remember the names, but I do remember one of the guys picked up something off the ground and like he threw it or something and it shattered one of the White Walkers and it was a metal. And I'm thinking that's the same type.
Yes.
And I was wondering, what is that? I think it's the whatever Valerian is. It must be dragon's blood or something.
It was forged out of it. I found out today because I asked that too in a private conversation I had today about it with one of the sisters that had read the book. So I don't know if she's still watching the show, but I know she read the book. And I asked that question, and she said, yes, but remember, it's just like you said, it's not any type of steel. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to put this steel in the earth element. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm also seeing the battle of the elements. So I'm trying to decide if I'm going to put this steel in the element of earth, because we got the element of fire and water, and, of course, you know, air. But she said that it wasn't any type of steel, that the steel was formed through the breath of fire, through the breath of the dragon, through the fire of the dragon. So in essence, the same girl, see, here we go with alchemy. The same thing that created you is the same thing that kills you or can kill.
Yes.
So I guess I'm tempted to put this steel as a mixture of the element, of the mix, because it's in the physical steel. You know, it's a sword of steel. Steel is a chemical. It's a compound. So it's steel earth, but it was forged in fire. So that's what I'm thinking. This is also some high alchemy that they showed
us. It has blood too, because I bought season 4 and I started watching it, and at the very beginning of season 4. It shows where Tamaris, I believe, the Lord, he was getting two swords made. He melted down one of the Valerian swords, and he made two. But it shows where he has a sacrifice. It's like I don't know if it's a wolf or some kind of animal, and he throws the animal into the metal that the man, cause they're like four people who can forge those swords, and he called in one of the guys to come to forge it. But he makes a sacrifice, and he actually throws the animal into the mixture, and the animal is part of that mixture, so there's your blood to go with it.
Well, well, well.
So, yeah, it might be all the elements. That sword has all the elements in it.
Yeah, I love it. And y'all know I'm pro-smoke daddy, honey. Did you see, honey, when he went through that fire? Honey, that fire didn't stop him at all, honey. They conjured that damn fire circle, and it didn't stop nothing. I just love the male sorcerer. I mean, I don't like their ass because they, what they've done over the years and steal women's power and use it as they own. But, honey, I love that one and that one. I mean, girl, I loved him when he raised them from the dead, girl, when he put his arms up and raised up. Girl, I don't know about it. Girl, that's what I'm telling you, honey. I can do a whole 30 days on the dark masculine in this series right here because they don't want now day. They don't want, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Y'all got to watch the show because everything that I've taught over the years you see in this show. All right. Anybody got anything else to say or want to add in? All right, that's us, ladies. That's us. Okay. Talk to y'all later.